Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
Rob Bradford's in the building somewhere. Can we get on the PA system in the building? Attention, attention, Rob Bradford to the WEEI studio. Rob Bradford, attention.
So a peek behind the curtain, he spent last segment in the producer's room standing behind John and Billy, and then we go on the air, and then we take a standard break, and now we're back, and he has since disappeared.
And he's not in the can, I don't think.
So he's in studio and he's late. When he's on the phone all around the world, he's on time.
He's on time.
It's very confusing.
Nah, here he comes in.
Not a big radio guy.
There we go.
I don't understand how it works.
That's right. Do we need some
What's
headphones?
Radio? I don't need headphones.
You need no headphones?
I don't know. Who needs headphones?
A mic condom or something
like that?
Why don't you practice safe radio
here?
There's
so many different ways to go with that, Andy. Where, I don't know.
We got him on Twitch, and it looks like
he's like a Lilliputian. You look as tall as Pete.
No, you're good.
Do I have to do the triple threat position like in basketball?
Yeah, you might have to. No, they'll get
you look like
you're
Pete Blackburn standing up. We love you, Pete, and you know that. Hey, Midweek Clubhouse Report with Rob Bradford, brought to you by McFarland Energy. Greater Boston and Cape
Cod. Now Bradford just left.
For dependable heating and cooling solutions at McFarlandEnergy.com. Do the folks at McFarland create some sort of wrist wrap for those that can't ride bikes?
Oh, they power people on bikes. They power everything.
There you go. And maybe that's what it was. Chris Hill had too much power on his bike.
He had the jetpacks on him. That was a bizarre situation. And yesterday, I would think that would classify as not a good day for the Boston Red Sox.
It was not.
No.
In fact, we've been trying to come up with different scenarios or maybe just one play in the field that sums up the 2022 Red Sox. And then Chris Sale falling off his bike usurped all of those things.
I mean, it was a pretty easy headline to write this morning, which was, it was the day the Red Sox fell off their bike.
Correct.
Right? And then, of course, I get into the Monty Python Black Knight of, it's just a mere flesh wound.
Oh, God.
You don't like that?
No, I like that. No, I do. I'm saying all God in regards to...
What's the sale? What is that?
That's Stewie Griffin.
That's a response to the
That's
joke.
Right. Monty Python. It's always a big hit with those who are 30 and younger.
Well, 1975.
Lord and lady.
Just a mere flesh wound. But that's how I immediately thought of that. I'm like, this is, they keep saying that you're saying there's a chance, and you keep getting your arms and legs cut off all the way till you're just a torso. And that's how it felt with the Red Sox. I mean, go down the list of things yesterday.
Sounds like my Aunt Fanny, just a torso.
I don't even know what that means, but it's funny. At 11 o'clock, you have the news of Chris Sale falling off the bike. And then you have Tanner Houck right before the game, your one of your few reliable closers. And then you have Eric Hosmer banging a ball off of his knee out. And then, I don't know if you know this, they lost.
Saw that late into the night. They couldn't just lose a 9 like normal.
They had to go
to extras. Now, any chance that Chris Sale didn't fall off his bike?
There's always a chance.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't.
You think like that?
I believe
it's
just a
conspiracy here.
We heard this from other people too. They were suggesting that again. He's by himself. Nobody sees him. Then he calls the trainer or whatever. He was on his bike to go get lunch. Like maybe that's possible. Or maybe
I would
else
say
happened.
This is that the bike excuse isn't a great look on its own. It's not like you're having this excuse like, this is plausible. This is an excusable event. No, it's not. You're riding your bike. Number one, don't ride your bike. Like, don't ever ride your bike when you're coming back from any injury. And one of the things I immediately thought of was the Jeff Kent thing, riding the motorcycle. Like, Jeff Kent, he got in trouble. They found out he's riding his motorcycle. I don't think there's a clause for riding your bike. But I would not advise to ride your bike when you're coming back from an injury.
Well, it's really a condemnation of the great city that we live in. That if Chris Sale wanted to drive a vehicle from where he lives to BC, it would take him an hour and a half. But on a bicycle, he could actually get there
basically
in a reasonable amount of time.
The city is telling everyone to ride bikes, and this is what happens when you do that.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, when your bike's more reliable than when your bike's more reliable than the T, it's more efficient. So
can we at least
stop now? At least he didn't catch on fire.
And even Chaim Bloom yesterday, which this kind of drove me nuts, and I, like I said to Gresh, it may have been true, but he was like, ah, he was throwing great over at BC too. He was really like popping the mitt. And you're like,
popping the mitt.
Like, come on.
Was he really?
No, he didn't say pop the mitt, but I added that.
Okay.
But like, we heard this in like when he was making his rehab, and we're like, guys, wait till Sale comes back. It's like, we heard this in the like last spring training. It's enough.
I believe that because like he looked good that one time he pitched. I mean, he could pop the mitt.
That one time.
That is the greatest quote of 2022.
That sums up Sale the last 4 years.
Remember that time you pitched? That was awesome.
You're Chris Farley. Remember that time where you threw five innings?
Sure do.
And we almost won? That was great.
I mean, two years left. I mean, if he makes another 10 starts, I think we'd be pleased.
It is crazy. It is crazy how we can trace this back. And I'm not just saying this because he was on the podcast yesterday, but you can trace this back to John Lester. Mm-hmm. It is so nuts how you can do this, including, by the way, Chris Sale telling me in spring training, saying that once John Henry said that thing about blowing the John Lester deal, he knew, right, this is his words, he knew right in that then and there that his contract was going to get done, and he actually sought out John Lester to thank him. Like, what is
incredible.
Happening?
They throw him a couple bucks, too. Yeah.
Oh, listen, they're not holding any bake sales for John Lester. Yeah. He ended up getting paid, but still.
Yeah. But he said on the podcast yesterday, if you were not traded, would you have been a Red Sox for life? And he said, yeah, probably. I mean, that's crazy to think about. And then none of this happens. We don't have any bicycle incidents.
You don't have David Price either.
Remember David Price, because for a period of time it was no pitchers over 30. Here's $213 million.
Yeah, let's pay $40 million more than the next team that's competing for the services. So, and you know what? You know, it turns out we need an ace. We're going to pay $217 million for them. And, well, we need a little bit more of an ace, so we're going to give up two of the top prospects in baseball. So there you go.
Man, oh man. What is the vibe with this group right now? Because they were very much invest in us, and then they crashed like Bitcoin.
So I think that after the trade deadline, the whole invest in us, I think some people in that clubhouse didn't really look at it that way. Some people did, but others didn't. They looked at it as you traded one of the key guys on this team. Fair or not. Some of these guys thought that you traded one of the key guys on this team, so that's not investing. And now we take a look out of it. Yeah, okay, Pham looks good. Hosmer, fine if he's okay. You know, McGuire's like Babe Ruth. He's the next Sandy Leone. But at the heart of it, let's take a step back. We all knew that for them to be good, to actually be the team that is going to try to make the playoffs, you needed a reliever. You need a late-inning reliever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what you did? You traded a reliever. And you didn't get anyone back. And immediately, that came back to hurt them in Kansas City and then again last night.
Now, do you think – we talked about this at right after the deadline, too, but J.D. Martinez and Nathan Eovaldi still playing out the string here, both going to be free agents. Do you expect the qualifying offer, 1 year, $19 million for both, and would either of those guys accept that?
It's become an interesting conversation, I think. Mm-hmm. And if they do, then check one in the Red Sox category playing it right? I mean, I would take J.D. Martinez back on a 1 year. I know he's not hitting right now, but what do you look at? You're gazing to the stars.
I'm thinking in my head, like, 2 months ago, I thought he'd get a pretty nice deal by somebody, and now I
don't.
No, but
the question is, would you want him back next year on a one-year deal? I would.
Not if it – again, is this –
What are you preventing the next great DH?
No, like Devers. No, because they spend their money. They have like they have their own cap, it feels like.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're gonna give $19 million to JD Martinez to hit 9 home runs, I'd probably.
What do you do it for Nathan Eovaldi?
Probably because I don't. Yeah, you got nobody to.
I'd want Eovaldi on a two-year deal. Quite honestly,
yeah,
well,
I do it more for Eovaldi than JD Martinez.
So even like the 1 year, 2 years, whatever, at that money, at $18-19 million. For both those guys, I can't be a hypocrite. I said both those guys are really important guys. Now, JD has really taken a turn for the worse here, and Nathan Eovaldi's fastball hasn't come back. But I still think that if you go into next year, they're probably more the solution, and then you build around them. Because both guys, you're going to have to find a top-of-the-rotation guy, right? And another part of this
– Good luck.
Well, exactly.
Brian Baio.
But another part of this is that – I think you need guys in your 30s who can like hold people accountable.
Yeah.
And like, this is a big deal to me. Like, when Jaren Duran said what he did on ESPN, which, by the way, thank you for that video.
Yeah,
because I hadn't seen it. I was like,
oh yeah,
I couldn't figure out where that came from, because I saw we were in the clubhouse and he didn't talk in the clubhouse.
I'm like, right, he did a big Sports Center hit.
Right, he did a Sports Center.
Like, you had to get Jaren Duran.
All
on
the
Sports
kids
Center.
Love Sports Center.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if somebody in that clubhouse should have grabbed him and said, this is not the way to do things. And, you know, Alex Cora was actually that guy, but it's more difficult to be that guy as the manager.
Yeah.
You need the guys in the clubhouse. And I do think there's a value to have the 30 something years old guys to basically be secure in themselves and say, this is how you do things.
Was Vasquez one of those guys?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
What do you think the chances are that he's back here next year?
I think on the right price, same sort of deal. I think that they like him, but maybe they don't like him as much as everyone thought they liked him when they were like, you know, oh, I can't believe Christian Vasquez is leaving. Same sort of deal. I think my biggest criticism with how they're doing business and how they have done business is that you don't just identify the guy and you pay a little bit more or you trade a little bit more for the guy. Everything has to be a bargain. Every single thing has to be a bargain. And that's not – at some point, that's going to catch up to you. You know how I know? They're in last place right now.
Man, that's that leads to a question about the Baltimore Orioles, where the Red Sox will play the Orioles on Thursday in a makeup game. How are the Orioles doing this? And they traded Trey Mancini.
I know.
But how does this happen?
Well, because this is the dream sequence scenario of all these new age GMs, which is just give us 10 years and we'll develop some pitching.
So a fever dream is what it is. Oh,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
And okay, can you think about how long it took the Orioles to get here? And good for them for developing some guys and getting some guys. Fine. But it took them forever. It took them forever, and this is a problem. When you talk about this Chaim Bloom model, and you talk about the mantra that ownership gave us, which is, we want to be sustainable forever. Well, you know, you're 0-for-1, right? I mean,
add some other goals you can check
off.
Yeah,
so, like, forever, I mean, means that you have to start, like, with – when does that start? Because it doesn't start this year. And this is the problem, is that you can't – in Boston, you cannot take years off like this. It doesn't work. And they know that, too, when it comes to the business side of things. You guys know this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can only give out the $9 ticket so much.
Right.
So it's this isn't Baltimore. This is Boston, and you have to figure out how to be good in a hurry.
Do you think Xander Bogaerts still really wants to be here to the point where – you know, maybe he wouldn't take every last dollar. Obviously, he wants a boost over what he's got right now, but has the last couple of weeks shaken how he feels about the team?
I think he still wants to be here, but the second part, I think it has shaken him a little bit. I think he was – you guys heard the sound from Houston, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was not a happy camper, and that stung him. I think it stung him for a few days, and it's not to say, hey, you know what? You traded Christian Vasquez. I can't possibly come back. No. But I'll come back to the Lester scenario, which is, it is interesting to me, by not trading Xander Bogaerts, you do not do what you did with Lester. You do not give him a taste of the outside world. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. Like, it was a big thing for Lester, and it could be a big thing for Bogaerts, a guy who desperately wants to be here.
Does $150 million fix it?
No, I mean, I think he wants more than that.
Well, now comes the grit your teeth.
I know.
Are you going to give him $150 or is it – and it fit? But there is the – you're losing them by choice, and then you're losing them because it's just too rich for your blood.
Yeah, well, the cold-hearted way to look at this from their perspective is, hey, you want to opt out? You think you're going to get more than what you're getting now? Good luck. I mean, they might look at that and say, look, we see the numbers. This is the player that you are. You're a $20 million a year player, and we're not going to factor in any of this other stuff. That's how they might look at it. Say, if you want to opt out, that's your prerogative. And by the way, even with this, with these numbers, he's going to opt out.
Because
Boris is going to get him a deal. But I could see the Red Sox saying, well, you know what? This is what we value you at. We're not going to value you at the guy who is going to put the name on the back of little kids' jerseys. We're just going to value at this. And that's when it's going to get uncomfortable.
Hey, quickly, sorry, Rich. Can you think Correa in Minnesota is opting out as well? I know he ended up doing kind of like a bridge deal.
Yeah.
Boris thought the same thing.
Every year he can opt out. And everyone thinks he's going to. I'm like, why would you? Like,
because he's $30 million next year, I think, right?
What, 35,
are like three
I
for
think.
101
35.
Million?
I mean, it's
so yeah, if but if he Boris, wants 8 years.
So if you're Boris, you're advising one client to stay on the contract that he has while telling the other one to opt out so that
it always,
they're
like the
off each other.
It's like the Don Yee thing, right? I mean, it's like I never got that, how you can be an agent for people who are in such similar situations.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Correa, it's fine. Like, it's the same thing as J.D. Martinez, except J.D. Martinez is less money, where everyone's like, oh, Boris will take him in the open market. Not if he's not going to get more money. And not if you have two more opportunities to opt out and you're still going to be young. So I might be totally wrong, but I don't see why you would opt out.
One guy we haven't really criticized much this year is Alex Cora. And so, you know, Chaim Bloom has been at the center of it and the players have been. Where do you think Cora is at right now? Because all of a sudden there was, you know, he went with Darwin's and Hernandez a few games ago instead of Whitlock. There was also a weird thing the other night against Houston where they didn't know that Yordan Alvarez got four strikes. And I just look at that as like, shouldn't somebody be on that?
Yeah, well, so I could give the backstory of that. I wouldn't put that the Darwin's in this fair. Like, I don't think that you bring in Darwin's and Hernandez in any important situation, but ever.
Right.
So, you know, you look at the four strikes. So what happened was Rich Hill was so pissed off how he was doing. He was working insanely quick, right?
Okay.
So he throws the pitch. It's strike three, and they're looking at each other in dugout. Wait, in that strike three, and Mike Brenly in the back, who's the video guy, immediately calls to them, "Hey, that was strike three." They answer the phone, and literally by the time they got off the phone, Rich Hill had already thrown the next pitch.
Got it. Because I was just thinking, like, that's just sort of not that it's the biggest deal in the world, but just a sign of like we've given up.
I mean, it was really a product. It's not to make excuses. It's the reality. It was a product of like Rich Hill just being like, I don't care. I just want to throw another pitch.
All right. So more specifically with Cora, why is he standing by Jaren Duran so much? Because he has made them look so stupid in the field. He's made them look stupid when he's talked on the microphone. And I know he had a big hit last night, but for the most part over this stretch, he hasn't hit either.
I think it's simple. Where else are you going to turn?
Right.
I mean, I think all of these things are true, what you're saying, but where else is Alex Cora going to turn? There's
Jalen Davis.
It's the same thing of a lot of these relievers. And like, where else are you going to turn? Like, the Darwinson thing, like, we can give him heat for bringing him in an important situation, but that's the spot the guy you just traded away was supposed to pitch in. Mm-hmm. So Jaren Duran, he's making all these mistakes, all these things. Alex Cora is best course of action in the eyes of Alex Cora is I got to do whatever I can to get this guy playing better. Let's somehow, because I got nowhere else to go.
When we talk to you next Wednesday, will we all be fawning all over O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates, their horse of a 6'8" shortstop?
Oh, yeah, sure. We got to fawn over something.
Baby. I'm excited for that series only because I want to see the 6'7" shortstop.
Well, I told Greg, we've turned into the bad NBA team that just waits for the good player on the other team to show up.
I mean, you guys are bearing the lead of the Pirates coming into town.
It's
Michael Chavis.
I thought you were going Ben Cherington on us.
Well, Ben Cherington. Michael Chavis is more quotable than Ben Cherington. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Very good.
Yeah. But yes, everyone's looking forward to the Pittsburgh series.
Are you going?
Have
you been to PNC?
Oh, it's great.
It's a great ballpark.
I would say,
and they have an all-you-can-eat ticket.
Because we love the like ranking the parks. I would say it might be top five. Such an underrated park.
Yeah.
Great
right
park.
On the water, very cool. Good food, all that
1245,
stuff.
1245, rate your best parks.
There you go. Oh no, at 1 o'clock we're doing all-time worst Red Sox contracts.
And by the way, good so list. We were back there talking about fantasy football leagues. I'm very excited.
Did you ask Fam, by the way? For us?
No, I have not. I'm still scared of him.
Got it.
Please
do admit it. Thank you.
But we are doing the first annual Bradford Show Fantasy Football League. But our commissioner, almost as good as Tommy Pham. You know who it is?
Coop.
Well, he's in the mix. Jonathan Papelbon.
There you go.
Yeah.
That league will fall apart by week 5. Yeah. Imagine him.
We have 11 teams.
Imagine
how that happened.
Imagine him trying to do the email send out. Get everybody on the list.
Yeah, it spices things up, doesn't it?
Everybody clicks the link and all of a sudden their computers are infected.
Good luck.
It's a bunch of Reese McGuire videos.
See, all these scenarios. Yeah. All these sound like fun scenarios. I love it. I'm excited
for
it.
There you go. Well, great. You're a man of multiple laptops. So there we go.
There you go.
The Bradfoe Show. Check out the conversation Nation with John Lester right now, WEEI.com, and, of course, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Bradfo, thank you, friend. We appreciate it.
All right, good seeing you guys.